Apple ruling makes a rotten morning for Samsung.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, in for David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. Samsung has lost more than $1 billion in market value this morning. That after the White House overturned a patent victory for the company. Earlier this summer, the U.S. International Trade Commission ruled that sales of some older iPhone and iPad models should be banned because they infringed on a Samsung patent. But over the weekend, the White House overturned that ruling, saying sales of the iPhone 4 and older iPad models should continue. Hank Morris covers Korean markets for AAA Partners.
It does mean that, in a sense, the Obama administration is offering some level of protection to Apple, and that's a bit of a disappointment to Samsung. But, of course, these are Samsung's older iPad models and older iPhone models. So it's not going to have a significant impact on the bottom line of either Apple or Samsung.
At risk for Samsung, though, billions in business. Morris points out that Samsung-made chips are used in the Apple iPhone.
The overall global importance of both the mobile phones and the tablet market is clearly so huge that Samsung is willing to risk the possibility that Apple may seek other sources of memory chips and move some of its purchasing away from Samsung as the two continue to battle it out in the global patent arena.
Those patent wars aren't getting the markets down this Monday morning. Some promising growth numbers are giving investors hope that the European economy is on the upswing. London's FTSE is up 0.2%. Germany's DAX also up 0.2%. U.S. markets ended last week on an up note. The Dow Jones Industrial Average added 0.2% to close at 15,658. Two commercial horse slaughterhouses will not be opening today in the U.S. as scheduled. They would have been the first in 7 years. A congressional ban on horse meat processing just expired, but on Friday, a federal judge extended the ban temporarily and scheduled another hearing on the issue. Andrea Gardner has that story.
Back in 2006, three horse slaughterhouses existed in the U.S. The meat went mostly to Europe and Japan for human consumption. When the ban took effect, U.S. horses were sent to Canada and Mexico for slaughter. Agricultural economist Michael Taylor says domestic horse processors had expected the industry would go back to what it looked like in 2006.
There's never been a change in demand, and that's one reason why slaughter plants that are looking to try to open up now are going to be able to transition into, you know, existing supply chains and existing buyers.
Sue Wallace says lifting the ban would have sparked domestic growth in horse meat. She's with the International Equine Business Association.
There is a very eager niche market for horse meat here in the United States.
While horse meat production sparks outrage among animal activists, she says ethnic communities are familiar with the meat and its affordability could attract other customers. Another hearing on the processing ban will be scheduled within the next 30 days. I'm Andrea Gardner for Marketplace.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
Washington, D.C. is developing a program that will require many people in homeless shelters to put part of any income they receive, wages or welfare, into mandatory savings accounts. The idea is to save up a pot of money to help in the transition to permanent housing. But that makes some homeless people worry about losing control of the little money they have. Kate Davidson reports.
I meet Latoya Edwards outside D.C. General. It's an old hospital that now houses some 900 homeless kids and adults. Edwards gets welfare benefits, but not much.
$129 a month.
And by the time she buys diapers for her two kids and pays to wash their clothes,
I still end up zero and even in the negative at the end of the month. But if you're talking about being able to save, I could probably do maybe $5 per month.
This is what's hard about setting up a mandatory savings program. There are an estimated 7,000 homeless people in Washington. Many, like Edwards, have debt from being evicted. Many have no benefits and no earnings. Many are mentally ill. D.C. can exempt hardship cases from the savings program, but it can also impose sanctions when eligible people don't participate.
What isn't fair is for individuals, and especially for children and families, to be living in shelters.
David Burns is the director of D.C.'s Department of Human Services.
It costs the taxpayer $50,000 a year for a family to stay at D.C. General. And it's a very, very poor way to be raising a child.
Burns wants families to develop the habit of saving. So when they do move out of the shelter, a flat tire or a medical bill won't send them straight back here. That's why D.C. is looking to Massachusetts, where families in shelters are required to save 30% of their income if they can. Aaron Gorenstein is Massachusetts Undersecretary for Housing and Community Development.
Once they get into permanent affordable housing, 30% of their income is going to go for rent in most cases. And so it really establishes that precedent early on while they're in shelter.
Back in D.C., LaToya Edwards wants to save on her own terms. She says she's not homeless because she's irresponsible.
I would like to be able to make my own financial decisions.
Edwards says she's homeless because she got laid off. I'm Kate Davidson for Marketplace.
And finally, August is upon us, but there's still time to get your summer vacation in. If you're stumped on where to go, you could take a cue from collective wisdom and visit France. The United Nations World Tourism Organization reports France had more foreign visitors than any other country last year. 83 million people visited France. The big spenders, though, went a little farther east. Asian gambling mecca Macau saw the highest average spending per tourist, about $3,200 apiece. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.